We're going to talk to Mary Frankham and Sue Fitchett, representatives of the Waiheke Collective. Sue Fitchett and Mary Frankham, good morning and welcome to Waiheke Radio Island Life.
Good morning. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Chris. Chris is actually in the studio helping me get that phone line working. Thank you so much, Mr. Chris. Good morning. Kia ora. Kia ora to both of you. And thank you for coming on the air this morning to talk about the Waiheke Collective and its extraordinary initiative to make the island predator-free by 2050. Have I got that right in one sentence? Mary?
Nearly. thank you. Yeah, it's good to be here. We our aim is actually to eradicate rats and stoats from the island by 2025.
So
a little bit earlier than 2050.
So we have stronger ambitions than the government, but that's normal for Waiheke.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Mary, you're a representative of the whole collective in a sense, in that you're their front person for the media and so on. But the collective itself is made up of a whole bunch of organisations from the island and the wider Hauraki Gulf. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. So no, we've got a really good group of organisations and individuals involved. Yeah, a bunch of us last year decided that it would be a good idea. We actually sat around the table having a beer together and talked about working together rather than individually, and agreed that we all had, you know, some shared objectives and have been working together ever since.
And the government has a plan, of course, for Aotearoa to be predator-free by 2050. Some people think that's a little ambitious. Other people think it can be done. But as part of that, they've called for applications for funding. And the Waiheke Collective, if I've got it right, has applied for funding and has made it through to the shortlist. So 7 out of the 45 applicants have gone through to a final round. And the collective has asked for $5.3 million, which, if I understand it right, the government's prepared to fund a third of your total costs if you're the successful applicants. Is that right?
Yes. So the Waiheke Collective, the Predator Free Waiheke Project, has made it through to the shortlisted round. We are one of 7 projects that Predator Free 2050 are looking at funding. The actual figures, that's not necessarily correct, but that's what Predator Free 2050 are looking at the moment. So it's really exciting, actually. We're the only project north of the Waikato to be shortlisted.
Oh, wow. Do you think that increases our chances?
Well, I'd like to think so, but it's hard to know, isn't it?
Yeah, it
is. Up to them.
Yeah. So the sort of groups that are involved, I'll come to you in a sec, Sue, the Hauraki Gulf Conservation Trust, Hauraki Gulf Islands Forest and Bird, of course, landowners with Tuiq, Queen Elizabeth II Trust Covenants, and that's where Sue in particular comes in. The Waiheke Resources Trust, of course, which we all know and love so well. Waiheke Ratbusters, ecological consultant Joe Ritchie, and Doc and the council as well are going to have staff involved. This is perhaps the first time we've had a whole army assembled, if you like, in the fight against rats.
Yeah, that's right. We also have Ngāti Paua in the collective, and I wasn't sure. Did you mention Forest and Bird?
I did. Yeah,
the Hauraki Island Forest and Bird. Yeah. No, so it's a great group of organisations and people that are really dedicated.
Seems to me, Mary, that's a kind of shift in the fight for conservation. It seems a shift that we have such a broad-based collective that is all aligned. I mean, we've all wanted mustelids and rats off the island for a long time now, but now we seem to have an alignment of organisations that we haven't had before.
Yeah, that's right. It's I think the word alignment is accurate. You know, we are all diverse in our own organisations and where we all come from, but we do all share some goals, and so it definitely makes sense to work together. And I think it was just quite timely, as you pointed to, there's a lot of history there with the interest in predator eradication and with a lot of environmental projects. And so it was, very timely with the work that's gone on before for people to say, actually, it makes a lot of sense to work together on this.
So can I bring you in here as a representative of the Queen Elizabeth II Trust? How's the trust involved? Sue Fitchett, good morning.
You've got to try, Greg. Yes, the trust is involved very supportive of the application and the collective's aims for the future of Waiheke. Presently on Waiheke Island, there are 10 QE2 National Trust covenanted properties of varying sizes. And some of those properties go back, my own property goes back 20 years. So these are people who privately, on privately owned land, covenanting areas of regenerating or good vegetation, good natural vegetation bush, and who are under their covenants often required to do predator control and to also do weed control. So, and the trust and our own person who advises us, Northwest advisor, Chris Floyd, is very, very supportive of what the collective is doing. And so I'm trying to represent the interests of those covenant holders on the island to the collective.
They're so important, aren't they, those people who have taken large bits of their private land, and there are large landholders on the island, obviously, at both ends of the island. And so it seems to me that it would be very important to have a kind of seamless approach that involves both public and private land, because rats and mustelids don't care about boundaries.
They don't actually acknowledge fence lines. but the important thing is that private land can join up in flyways for birds, and in pieces of bush can be areas which are bridges from one thing to another. And also, the more that you have sort of areas that we might call halo areas of protection with predator control, the better the whole will be, you know. So you want to expand and expand that, and private property is very important in that.
And we have covenanted land on the island, private land covenanted through the QE2 Trust, right down as far as Timutuku and the bottom end, and then right up to Church Bay, if I've got that right.
That's correct.
So, in fact, we're starting, compared to a lot of communities, it seems to me, we're starting from a great position in that we're an island, that's going to make it easier. But secondly, we have willing people, willing landowners, a broad base. I think this is the most positive I've felt about predator eradication on the island ever.
It is, and Forest and Bird, of course, have been selling rat bait, and know that many private landowners, who not necessarily covenant owners, are interested in predator control.
You can get it from the market.
You can get it from the market, and of course, that makes our hui coming up next weekend important. We hope the community will come and find out.
Nice segue, if you'll avoid the awful, if you'll excuse the awful term, Mary. Perhaps we've got we do have a hui coming up on the island next weekend. That's Sunday at the Austin War Memorial Hall, the home of a great number of community initiatives have started off in that hall over the years. That's wonderful. Can you tell us a little bit about that hui and what people can expect?
Yeah, so as you said, it's next Sunday from 1 till 3. It's going to be an update for people to learn a bit more about the collective and the Predator Free project. We're going to be talking about what people would like to see in terms of what kind of outcome. We're not, not necessarily focused just on the killing side of predator eradication. Mm. We're actually about a flourishing and healthy natural environment. Mm. But a big part of the hui is also an interactive panel discussion on the predator eradication project. So there will be both community leaders and eradication experts on the panel, and it's an opportunity to be informed and ask questions.
Yeah, in fact, the poster says, "What do you want Waiheke to look like in 20 years' time?"
That's right.
And that seems to me to be just, that's manageable in my head. You know, 20 years, I can, I know what I want Waikiki to look like in 20 years' time, actually. So perhaps I'll come along and let the collective know, because I think we've all got a vision for Waikiki, haven't we? And I don't know of anybody myself whose vision doesn't include thriving wildlife and birds. We've got kaka on the island now that certainly weren't resident here. They used to fly from the Hunuas over to the barrier, but they weren't resident on the island until a few years ago. Mm. And it seems to me that there are some community initiatives that we're part of, like the Kereru Count and so on, that we've got a long way to go, but we're facing in the right direction. Is that a fair comment?
I think that's really fair, and it's actually really exciting, the fact that we are surrounded by lots of pest-free islands. It means that the work that we do on Waiheke is going to really support the return of a lot of our indigenous species and support the ones that are there already. So, as you said, the kaka, the grey-faced petrel, the New Zealand dotterel, and the little blue penguins, you know, supporting those populations that are there and you know, need a bit of help.
There are dotterels on a tangy these days.
Yes, I've heard. Yeah,
no,
it's great.
Yeah, it is, and that's a dog walking beach, you know. So there's a sort of, which brings me to my next point. Maybe Sue, you'd like to address this. I've always felt on the island that we're lucky to be in a place where we don't have possums, but we do have people. So one of the last places where people and no possums.
One of the issues is true. We have a lot of people who have their own interests, and I respect that, but it does raise issues about how we manage, for example, pets. I was involved in a forest and bird project alongside the SPCA to create a responsible pet ownership brochure in the last year, 2 years. And it will be something going forward in the vision for 20 years, is how people can manage their pets so the wildlife that we're bringing back, including the kaka and its progeny, are kept safe, both from particularly cats and dogs. So this is a conversation we need to have with the community. We need the community to, we hope, of course, Waiheke Collective is community-led, but these are conversations about risk and about safety and living alongside rather than humans dominating the landscape. And how we protect the species.
Because it seems to me that we've got a few offshore islands, Tiritiri, Matangi, and so on, and some wonderful initiatives at Rotoroa and the Motutapu Restoration Trust and the Motuhi Restoration that's still ongoing. But Waiheke is the one, and it's sort of relatively easy, nothing's easy in this world, but in the world of conservation, but relatively easy to keep those islands predator-free and people-free, except for controlled visits. Waiheke, on the other hand, is a real challenge because we have people coming and going all day, every day, and it's a place where we want the environment to flourish, but people also to enjoy it. So, to me, that makes it almost unique in a conservation. It makes this an almost unique conservation effort.
Yes, you're right. It's certainly, in fact, it'll be a world first, you know, predator eradication in over a populated landscape like Waiheke. We are lucky that we are surrounded by, you know, a body of water, and as you say, there are people coming and going from the island constantly. But there are, you know, there's the existing biosecurity program that's run jointly by Auckland Council and DOC, the Treasure Islands Biosecurity Program, and so part of our work will be, you know, working alongside and together with the agencies to ensure that biosecurity protection is there.
Well, an incredibly exciting beginning that people can come along and listen to at the Austin War Memorial Hall next Sunday at 1 o'clock till 3 o'clock. And I'll mention that again at the end of the show and put it out on our Facebook page as well. And just try and get as many people along as possible, because if you want to get involved in this seems to, well, if you want to support this and understand it, then this seems to be the opportunity. So Mary Frankham, thank you so much for your time. Sue Fitchett, thanks so much for coming up to Onaroa and Waiheke Radio.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you very much.
And all the best, and we'll see you next Sunday.
Thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks very much.
Bye.
Bye.